Once again, welcome. There's a lot to think about as it relates to this day. Unfortunately, like Christmas, it's been co-opted for a lot of other reasons. And so we have Easter bunnies, and we have Easter baskets, and we have Easter egg hunts. I'm not saying any of that is bad. It has absolutely zero to do with why this day is so amazing for those that are believers in Christ. And so we need to talk about that, and we need to say, okay, as believers, just like Christmas, we're there to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. Well, here, we're going to be celebrating something even more significant as far as it relates to us. It was God's plan to bring us back away from what we deserved and give us through grace something we did not at all. I'm going to mess up my dudes here. Right there. See, today, the events that we are going to be celebrating. You're going to celebrate later, and we're going to have a big Easter dinner and have all of our family over, and guess what? We're going to hunt for eggs. And the kids had Easter baskets on the table this morning when we got up. But this is better. There's a lot of things that we need. There are a lot of things that God gives us. I could give you, maybe, let's just say, I could give you millions of dollars. Let's just say I could perform miracles and I could heal every one of the afflictions that you might be suffering from. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're still going to die and go to hell. This is a message of hope. That's what God's giving us. I don't know about you, but life is hard. And we're going to have a baby dedication here a little bit later. Yes. We had a couple of memorials here recently that were really hard. I mean, they were very difficult. It is so nice to go to the other side of the life spectrum and say, here's a new one. And the amount of hope that's there as we look at these young people. I work at the school, at the grade school, every week on Thursdays. And one of the greatest parts of it is to look out there and see, especially in the younger ones, the kindergartners, that sense of innocence and hope that they have that life is going to be okay. And I don't want to tell them it's going to be hard, but there is hope. So I can just tell you, if you have lived, and many of you have lived, I'm 66, almost 67, and I can tell you I've had my share, I'm sure you have had your share, of incidences where you could say, yeah, life can be really hard. Raise your hand. Can life be really hard? Yeah, it is. Okay. And so we absolutely need hope. God knows how badly we need hope. Hope saying, I know that there must be something better than this. That it can't be always like this. In fact, when God created this world and he created human beings, we were not designed for this. We were supposed to be living with God in complete and intimacy and God supplying all of our needs in a life without trouble. And in Christ, that life is indeed coming again. It's not right now necessarily completely. But the message of Easter, which we would call Resurrection Day, is a message of hope. That indeed there is something better both in this life and the next one. Because he lives. If I have that hope, if I have taken advantage of that opportunity, I can face tomorrow. And I mean tomorrow. Who knows what it'll bring? But I can face it because I have the hope that Jesus has saved me and I know my eternal destiny and I know that Jesus has sent me his Holy Spirit who's inside me, transforming me from the inside out, so that I can find that joy that God intended me to have, even in the midst of whatever is coming tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I do not have to be afraid of death or of life because Jesus paid the price for my sins and opened up the door for me and you to have a relationship with God every day. Because I know he holds the future. See, that's the thing. I know what my eternal destiny is. The Bible clearly tells me. Now, I don't know all the details, and I don't know exactly why God didn't give us a little more info, but he gave us enough to know that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor can any mind fathom how wonderful the next life is for those who are believers in Christ. I know he holds the future, and I know that life is worth the living just because he lives. See, life and death are symbols. We're going to talk about that here in a minute, but they are symbols. In fact, they represent intimacy with God is life. Life is intimacy with God. That's what the Bible is trying to tell us. When I'm talking about eternal life, I'm not just saying you're going to have a body and live forever. You are going to live in intimacy with God. That is life. And death is separation from God. And that's what we saw in the garden when death first occurred. The first death was spiritual death as God separated himself from man. The second death was physical death, which became part of our destiny after the fall. But what I know is because he lives, regardless of how long I may live here in this physical body, I'm going to live for eternity in intimacy with God. So this is very significant. But what is the real message of Easter? Again, we would call Resurrection Day. I think Easter was some sort of a pagan goddess of something. And then just like Christmas got weird and taken away from Christians, Easter is maybe even worse. And, you know, we celebrated Good Friday on Friday here with a celebration because this is a two-part story and you cannot separate the two. I think they just, you know, said without the crucifixion and the death of Christ, you can't celebrate the resurrection. So the two can't be separated, and it really should be Holy Week. And that whole thing is this narrative of how the culmination of God's plan to redeem human beings all played out exactly the way God had prophesied centuries and centuries before. But in order to understand how significant this is, I'm going to give you a little bit of the bigger picture, okay? God creates man. Man sins. In the garden, Adam and Eve, you guys all know that. I don't know that they actually ate an apple, but there was something there on the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil that God told man not to eat. And what does he do? The one thing that God says not to do. And they do it anyway. And so we would say, man, if we could see that where they're just, you know, lightning bolts coming down from the sky, we see with Jesus, the curtain was ripped when he was crucified. But this is pretty significant, and I'm not sure exactly what it looked like and what they experienced, but there was a rip in the fabric of everything that was created because when sin entered the world, everything that God had created at that point was cursed. The universe, it says, was cursed. Human beings are now born into sin. So God creates man, and then man sins, and so he breaks relationship with God. He's kicked out of the garden, which is, again, symbolic of the separation of man and God, and now he faces physical death. But more importantly, man loses access to the things that he was designed to need by God and only get from God. Because man was created in God's image, he's intelligent, he's resourceful, he's powerful, he's insightful, he's philosophical, he's creative, and he's motivated to achieve. That is mankind, okay? So God created us for this deep and intimate relationship, and he gave us those qualities which are kind of like God in certain instances so that we could find relationship with God. I mean, if we were just amoebas, probably we wouldn't be very good for God. And so, or for them, but here we are, and we have all of these qualities, but instead of using them the way we were created to by God, once we were broken from sin, And fallen out of relationship with God, we use those traits to rebel. And man's journey from that point on until he's redeemed is to become the God of his own life. And that's really what happened to Adam and Eve. The serpent said, no, if you do this, you'll be more like God and you'll know what to do. And well, I would whatever. You'd be more like God. Except then they become the God of their own life, where man wants to be in control, where man is selfish and he is going to do all the things. And evil is in his heart because his heart was deadened by sin. He wants nothing to do with the one true God anymore. And in essence, mankind, after the fall, is spiritually dead. Okay, so that was how you were born. That's how I was born. Most people say, well, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty good person. But God's standard is perfection. And so any of our sin has created this point where we are now separated from God in relationship, and the impact of that and the cost of that sin is going to be death or eternal separation from God in hell. Not only that, we have taken ourselves away from access to all of the things we were designed to need by God. So here was spiritually dead man. But because God is perfectly holy and perfectly pure, he cannot tolerate sin in any way. And since he's perfectly just, all sins must be paid for. Either the sinner will be punished and the price will fall on his head, or the price must be paid by a redeemer. But someone has to pay the penalty for every sin, or God can't be just. And we think, well, is that really fair? Is God really just? Is God justified in sending people to the end result of what he says in his word will happen if we don't accept Jesus? Well, that is God's prerogative. But he has given us the opportunity through Christ to escape that destiny. So at this point, God is the only one who could have paid for our sins. As human beings, we have nothing. We have no currency. We have nothing to offer God that says, hey, if I just work really hard for you, God, can you just please not send me there? Or can I please escape this? Or can I please even be back in relationship with you? No. Man has nothing to bring to the table that would save him from the destiny that he deserves by being separated from God. So here we are, and whether we recognize this or not, whether you say, well, I don't understand that, I don't believe it, I'm not sure, it is the reality. And every one of us is going to face that when either they are in their life here or Jesus returns. You can say, well, aren't there lots of ways? Well, we're going to see that that's not true. But at this point, then, we know two things. Human beings have two needs that are very critical. One, the penalty for his sins must be paid. The sentence is eternal death if they are not. God's sense of justice demands this, and man absolutely needs to be atoned. He needs somebody to step in and take away the penalty of his sin and then restore relationship back to God in order for man to get the things that he needs and escape the things he deserves. Man needs, number two, he needs the relationship between God and himself to be repaired. For without that, he may escape the wrath of God. Even if God says, okay, I'm going to forgive your sin, but I'm not going to restore you in relationship. We talked about that on Friday. You might escape the wrath of God, but you're never going to experience the amazing benefits from God's love, his acceptance, his grace, his peace, his joy, his comfort, the identity that he gives you, satisfaction, hope, and security, and then eternal life in heaven. So there are two things that are going on here. One of them is the penalty gets taken away. That's called expiation. It's a churchy word. I'm going to take something away. So I know that God says, I have a plan for you. What you need is, number one, the penalty for what you've done to be taken away. But that's not going to be enough. You also need to be given something, and that is a restored relationship with me so that you can experience all of the things that I designed you to have in the beginning. Both of those things, one of them is the victory over sin, one of them is the victory over death. Those are the two very things that Christ accomplished in the last 3 days that we celebrate today. God's plan for the redemption of man needed to accomplish both of those things, and it did. God had a plan to redeem man back to himself before he even created the universe. That's what the Bible tells us. God saw this coming. This was not a mistake on God's part. God says, I know this is going to happen. I am going to be able to demonstrate some aspects of my character. Because of this, I can show people that I have grace. I can show people that I have mercy. I'm going to allow this to happen. And so God's plan included the life, the birth, and the death of his son. And so in order to understand what Easter is so significant, why it is so significant, because this is something lots of people have died, right? And lots of people have died on behalf of other people. And did that save them? No. And even other people, believe it or not, if you read the Bible, a number of people were resurrected. Did you know that? That they were brought back to life. But did that event save other people? No, it did not, because they weren't God. And so this is a very important part of the essence of Christianity, is that God sent God, his son, to earth in the form of a man so that he was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. And I know that's hard to understand, but it's true. And he came in a virgin birth and he lived a life experiencing all the rotten things we have to experience, seeing all the things that we have to see, and not sinning, so that he could be the perfect sacrificial lamb on our behalf to atone for the sins of mankind. In order to do that, God's plan was that Christ would physically die on the cross. And that's what we celebrated last Friday. He took upon himself the sins of the world. And it says in Corinthians that he who knew no sin actually became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. That God took upon, not only did Christ die, but God then placed upon Christ all of the sins of the world. And then because of that and because of God's holiness, he had to look away. And it says Jesus understood that and said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? In human terms, it's almost impossible for us to understand what that really meant. Because we could say, okay, we've been turned away by other people, but this is God. This is God, the most holy, perfect, pure thing that ever could be, becoming sin, so that the penalty for our mistakes would be paid. Those two things, Christ's death on the cross, and then his going into the grave, paid the penalty for the sins of man as long as man accepts his free offer of saving atonement. Accepting this offer removes the penalty of sin from the account of the believer, and all sins, past, present, and future, are removed from your account. This was God's victory over sin. Then on the third day, this day that we're celebrating today, Christ raises from the tomb and is physically given life again. And this is the great message of hope, that not only are we not going to experience the wrath of God, but this solves the problem of relationship with God, and this is a symbol of a new life where we will have intimacy with God both in this world and the next, and it's available to all people who accept God's free offer. God promises never will he abandon his children in either this life or the next, and none can snatch them out of his hand. Instead, he promises this, that he will inhabit them, sending the Holy Spirit into their heart and begin to rebuild them from the inside out. And then he promises to complete the job when Jesus returns to collect them as his own. Both of those things make up the greatest gift of all, which was the title of this sermon. But also the title of the sermon said, if you do have it, what are you doing with it? There's a lot of people here I know that are already believers, that they're already accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. What are you doing with that gift? And we're going to be talking about that here in a moment. But I also need you to understand, and I know this is a hard one, this is one that is one of the most difficult for the unsaved world to understand. And that is that Christianity, according to God, the creator of all things, is the only way. You know, we have lots of religions, and lots of people say, well, all paths can lead to God, and you know, as long as you're religious, as long as you really firmly believe, well, that's not what God is telling us in his word. It says in John 14, 6, and Jesus has said to this man, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. And so what he was saying was, look, if you want to get back in relationship, if you need your sins forgiven, if you want to be back in intimacy with God, I am the only way. Can't just be good. You can't just follow other religious constructs that were created by men to make themselves feel better so they felt like they could work their way back into God's good graces. No, this is all about one thing, and that is God giving grace to us because of what Jesus did on the cross and in the tomb. The gift is free. It costs God more than we could ever imagine, and it is priceless. So in the title of the sermon, it says, do you have it? Well, it says, do you have it, right? So I'm going to ask you, do you have it? This is the most important decision any human being can ever make in their life. It will determine everything that is important to humans. Where will I spend my eternal destiny? And how am I going to navigate the troubles and trials in this world and still find love, joy, peace, and contentment? God wants you. He wants you just as you are. No exceptions. Repent and believe in Jesus, and that's all you have to do. Accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, rose again on the third day, and is reaching out his hand to offer you the free gift of salvation. But you have to take it. And so I'm going to ask you right now, is today the day? We don't, any of us, know how long we're going to be here. I'm going to say, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do it right here today. Right now. This is the time. If you feel that urging in your heart that God is moving you to say, yeah, I understood what Pastor Tim just said, and that's not me, but I want it to be me, then today you can do it. Later on, we're going to be baptizing people, and you can be one of those if you want. I'm inviting you right now. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Don't go another minute outside the hope that God has provided that we celebrate on Easter. So I'm going to say, when this thing is over, I mean, you can raise your hand right now. You can come up here right now and we'll talk to you about it. Don't leave this building today if you still need Jesus Christ as your Savior without making that decision. And I pray that God is moving in your heart because there is nothing more important. But then the rest of us, we don't have any excuses either. So if you do have it, what are you doing with it? Because there's a couple of things that you need to know. There's two things here. Are you being changed by God as efficiently as is possible? If you are saved, you can say, yes, I'm saved, and I know where I'm going, and I know that it can't be taken away. But are you, or are we, surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that God can turn us into the person He wants us to be for His glory and our benefit. He wants this for us so that we can experience the love and the peace and the joy He intended when He made us. And only we really are standing in God's way of being changed. So if we have already been saved, are we really surrendering ourselves, dying to the fleshly part of it so that God can transform us into the image of Christ and we can then start to enjoy all of the benefits of being a child of God right here, right now? Well, not all, because some of them are being saved for the next life. But we have to ask ourselves that. This gift that we're trying to tell everybody about and is so powerful and is so wonderful and it is totally priceless. I have it. Am I really taking advantage of it? Or am I just saying, well, I'm good, I'm saved, so it doesn't really matter how I live. It doesn't really matter what I think now. I got my fire insurance. I got the ticket to heaven. You know, don't pass go. Don't collect $200. But that's not what God wants for His children. So we come here, and a lot of us are believers, and we come here to experience today and celebrate it. But what we should be thinking about is, God, You've done so much. You paid so much. Why am I valuing it so little? It says Christ went to the cross both so we could have eternal life, but so that we could find righteousness in Him today. Being saved by God is great, but living in His pathway is wonderful. And Christianity is not about those things. It's not about being good. It's not trying to be more moral. Those are byproducts of a changed life, but that's not the goal. The goal is to surrender yourself to God so that He can remake you from the inside out, and you can find those gifts that God wants to give you right here, right today. And then the second thing for those who have accepted the gift, are you sharing it with others? Yeah, we're going to have another slide here. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Me, so go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, it's right there. It's telling us that we've been given this wonderful gift that we celebrate here on Easter. But it says, go therefore, take that gift and make disciples, and baptize them, which we're going to be doing very soon, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're supposed to be doing. If you have been given this wonderful gift that we celebrate in this last few days, then by all means, share it with others. There's no end to it. You don't have to say, well, boy, do I have to give up mine to give it to them? No, you don't. God says, I can bring them all in, but He's using His people to share the message out of gratitude, not out of some sort of obligation, but the fact that what God did for you, you fully understand now, and you can say, God, I can't believe You did this to me, and I just want to share this with someone else. But if you've been given the gift, I pray you'll share it. Do we recognize how great the gift is? Do we celebrate it every day, every moment? Do we share it as though we understand its value and its worth? One day we will all face God. When this life is over, or we each individually, personally die, or when Jesus returns and we're going to be facing God and He's going to ask a question, what did you do with My Son? And if you accepted Him, then He'll say, come on in, good and faithful servant. If you haven't, you're going to be taken away from the presence of God for eternity. So we need to share it. We need to take full advantage of it. But first, we need to accept it. So even if your answers to those questions are, no, I haven't accepted it yet, or no, I haven't really taken full advantage of all the things that Christ is offering me, I haven't really given my life over to Him or allowed the Holy Spirit, you know, to kill those parts of me that are the old me, and I haven't really put on the new me, okay, decide today that it's going to be different. Accept the gift if you haven't. Surrender if you've accepted the gift but haven't really given your life fully to Christ. Allow him to transform you. And this is what Easter is really about.